Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
In the price of the car, there are five numbers. Using all five numbers, write down the price of that automobile. Go. 19,000 what? 19, you can use the one twice. You can't do that.
And the Bulldog.
Ninth, you've used the one twice. Look, right down here. What do you want to write? You want to write 19,000? Write it down.
On WGR.
No, $1.20 beats 85 cents. It's not even close. What do you mean you can't go over? So if you're a waiter and the bill is $40 and they give you a $50 bill, do you kick them out of the restaurant?
Now, come on. Let's go. You're going to lose your turn if you don't write. 19,000. Now, what, please tell me, do you have here?
Sports Radio 550.
An exasperated Bob Barker is the best Bob Barker. Let's just say that. Not even ask for feedback. Not taking, don't at me. That's what you say now.
Don't at me. Nice.
I love the tweets that are like, blue is the best color. Don't at me.
Just, yeah, right.
I know this is going to be bad if I venture into the comments. Mm-hmm. Probably not. But, hey, I got to head that off. Really? From any particular one? No, I mean like any given tweet or just all tweets? There's no way possible to respond to it. Oh, wow. That sort of defeats the purpose, though.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. Yeah, this is supposed to be interactive and social, and it's yes. Going so well.
I'm going to say this, but you're not allowed to say anything back.
Right.
We already get away with a lot of that on this in this format already, so we don't need to silence responders on Twitter. The Ravens-Steelers game is off. I wonder who the additional player was. This is right, isn't it, that there was one more positive test today?
I did not see a number. I don't know. I didn't see anything as to – but first I knew that something was up was that they're pulling the game. I didn't know if there was news on more positive tests there.
I wonder if he were somebody really good. Now, so, like, the Steelers are hot. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You tell me if they should be, if they really have an argument. But now, so the Ravens were preparing to play this game without J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. Now they might get those players back. If they can clear the hurdles by Sunday, the game is Sunday now, they would be able to play in Pittsburgh. Whatever that is, two positive tests or whatever that is, the number of days.
Two negatives, yeah.
Two negative tests.
Like two negative tests 24 hours apart, I think, is what that has to be. But I wasn't sure if there were enough days from when they first were tested positive to even still qualify for Sunday. But I guess that's happened in other weeks where guys have been on the list early in the week and then clear it by the end.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they play. John Clayton, yeah. Next hour, he will know.
Okay.
But I think that's right. Well, you know,
I think the Steelers have got, I mean, what is it, right? The Titans got messed up, and so the Steelers had to have their bye in week four. And so now they're getting ready to play a game on Thursday and enjoy some extra days off afterward, and they're not going to get that. Instead, it's just a regular work week. So, I mean, I think, you know, do they have a right to complain? Sure, I think to an extent, but if I were a player on the team, I'd be careful about going public about that because your turn could be next week. where like your team is screwed up, and you know, we'll see what the league does about that. If there's any room to push games back or make accommodations for you, or if you have to play like the San Francisco 49ers did with a bunch of guys that nobody's ever heard of.
But what are they actually complaining about? Like the whole season is, this can happen, and if it does, we will step back. We'll postpone games and whatever else. And
I think they're complaining. Go ahead.
No, that's what's happened. Like, why? What do they have to stand on? Like, yeah, they could be them next time, but what do they have to stand on? I mean, the Ravens have 10 or more positive cases. So
I think they have to stand on, you made the 49ers play through that, and this is our opponent coming up this week, and we got a chance to put a bullet in them, and I don't care that they're weakened. The 49ers had to play that way, so they should have to play that way, and if that's to our advantage, good for us.
Okay, right. The new precedent.
Yeah.
It's not the
like,
Tennessee situation.
Are you making
situation.
This up as you go along, yep. Or do you have a plan? And, you know, this, I think, without knowing all the details, and it's quite possible, I want to be heard saying this, that there are legitimate reasons why they can't play this game, but they made the 49ers play. All right, that might be right. I don't know. But on the surface, I think you could look at it and wonder if they're giving the Ravens some benefit here that the 49ers were not afforded. And as the opponent, if I'm the Steelers, I feel like maybe I'm getting worked a little bit.
Yeah, we make San Francisco the new precedent. You had to play despite all those subtractions. And so why doesn't Baltimore? Yeah, that's right. Well.
But like I said here, I mean, if I were them, I would be careful about that because you might need, you know, you might need all the help you can get from the league in another week or two. Who knows? But, you know, I guess, you know, you might not think that way if you're a player on the team and you think you're bulletproof or whatever. But
it's interesting.
I can see where they're bent a little bit.
It's interesting that in these situations – you really just don't it's hard to figure out fault. It might not even be applicable at all. Like if on a certain level, contracting COVID-19 can happen without you being at fault. Mm-hmm. There has to be some interaction in your life. And a child goes to school or a Your spouse does, you know, has some sort of function or has to go shopping, and the next day you test positive. You were not non-compliant in a store. You didn't go to a party. You didn't do anything obviously sort of quote against the rules or even against the rules. So blame, like, all right, are the Ravens to blame for having an outbreak? Who knows?
Yeah, it's very possible, maybe even likely that they're not to blame.
That's right. So wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to know if – all right, so with the Titans were about to play the Bills, and we just all kind of talked like, well, they suck because they had that practice at the high school, and, oh, they're not wearing masks. Oh, I mean, forfeit the season. Mm-hmm. Well, there was something. There was some noncompliance. They got fined. They did not have it. It was nothing historic about it. They didn't lose draft picks. They didn't forfeit the season. So somebody knows some answers to that. What did the Ravens, in this case, actually do? And if you knew that they had, you know, violated some terms, well, then you might want to respond accordingly, whether that's...
Yeah, right, and...
You know, you have to play without Lamar Jackson if he tested positive. That's your problem.
Whereas you get the benefit of the doubt if it's, you know, if it is believed that you haven't done anything that put your team or yourself at risk.
Yeah. And, you know, separately, maybe there's nothing. If that one thing happens, the one player, you've got 50 guys or more on the team, one player catches COVID-19, if you will, innocently, right? Then they go to work, and now you have an outbreak. Well, that's reasonable to think. I mean, that it happens somehow. They didn't all go to some, you know, crazy party, probably. So you have something like that, and then what do you do about the Ravens? Well, they shouldn't have to play. You shouldn't have to play without your guys. You shouldn't have to, you know, why are we punishing you for having the outbreak?
But again, back to the 49ers. Do we know that they did anything wrong?
Right.
Like, I think there's a duplicity there that I could understand being problematic to a competitor.
And plus, it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Like, it's already so, really hot.
Yeah, right.
And now, the Steelers have the Ravens coming in, and we'll see how diminished they actually are. But the Steelers, it seems, are pretty bent about having to wait until Sunday to play this game.
I mean, you want to go all the way with it. I mean, I'm not representing that I believe this to be the case, but as a as a competitor, would you be skeptical at all that the league is giving Baltimore some benefit of the doubt because Lamar Jackson is the reigning MVP? Like, he's great, and we want them to be able to give you a fight. They're on the edge of missing the playoffs here, and we don't want that. So let's give them a few days to try to cobble together some more healthy bodies and see if they can get back in the playoff race. Like, I think we live in a very conspiracy-oriented society now, I think. I don't know if you've noticed that. I think Steelers fans, maybe even players on the team, think the league is bending because Lamar Jackson's on the cover of a video game.
Oh, I can't wait to hear from them and read them on Twitter. I'm sure that's right. I'm sure that the NFL took a game off prime time on Thanksgiving and buried it on a Sunday afternoon because they want the Ravens to make the playoffs. Everyone knows Lamar Jackson is everyone's favorite player in the league. I mean, that's exactly what probably happened here. Yeah, you're 10-0, and the league is trying to screw you. If there are people out there that represent that, and I'm sure there are, then, I'm sorry, I'm not ready for that.
I dropped it in your lap.
I'm not on board. I'm not on board.
I'm not either. I'm just
good.
I'm just good. Working here.
I'd have to leave. The league is always trying to balance it to do both things. You know they're going to get their games in, but they also don't want it to be disgusting. And everybody's sick, but so what? And all your best players are out, but so what? Like, there's a balancing act. I thought with this game yesterday, we talked about this for 20 minutes at the beginning of yesterday's show, they're not postponing this game. The only way they would is if not only, perhaps, this is just a theory, somebody else tests positive, but it's got to be somebody good. And Jackson is almost the only player, for me, that I don't know if it was him. I don't know. But I kind of wonder, I said yesterday, if Robert Griffin tests positive, don't they get on the plane?
Yeah, right.
No offense.
Right.
And because I do think the league, that's priority one, is the game, especially when it's a standalone game like the Thanksgiving night. This rivalry, Thanksgiving night, I mean, it's marquee. Anyway, maybe there'll be more information.
If it were Lamar Jackson, he can't play Sunday. If he just tested positive today, there's not enough time.
That's right. Although they would get those other guys back, maybe.
Right.
But
bring all the Kings running backs and all this to do all you want. You can play without your quarterback. Good luck.
You give your backup a couple of days anyway. We'll see what happens there. Here is Drew with us. Hi, Drew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Big fans. I just wanted to run a theory by you, and then I'll hang up and get your response. I've heard some members of the media and analysts, mostly outside of Buffalo, mention how one guy said, I heard, is unprecedented improvement of Josh Allen from last year to this year. And it dawned on me that one thing that might be contributing to that is actually the lack of fans in the stands. As a guy who's younger, still early in his career, in the grand scheme of things, and can be very energetic and emotional, that maybe removing the crowd and the potential to get excited and overwhelmed is extremely good for him and will allow him to sort of calm down and take things as they are. And when you do bring fans back, maybe he'll have a little more sense of calmness to his game, and that maybe this, while it's a terrible scenario for fans, could be a great thing for him in the long run. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Drew. Happy Thanksgiving. I think if there were truth in this point in any way, the most or in different ways, my number one is no noise. Not that there's less pressure, although I think I've heard that theory. I don't know. I wouldn't even want to guess at that without really knowing Allen.
Yeah.
But I think no noise in stadiums makes it, or it might make it, a lot easier for quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it possible that this is a factor in the way the caller is describing, and even like you're, yeah, I don't know, but sure. I mean, it's definitely different. There's no question about that. No one should be prepared to argue that it's the same. And noise is a big, I think noise is a big factor. Like, and it might take you some time to figure out how to tune it out. And maybe some guys never do. I don't know. But yeah, it could be something.
Just, you know, calling plays.
Yeah.
And being able to make those kind of adjustments without, on the road, of course, without the stadium screaming and making it tough to hear and communicate, I bet it's a lot easier. You know,
it seems more like a practice.
Right. And
in a way, you know.
You do see, I don't think this is a Josh Allen point. I think it's a league point. I mean, you do see crazy elevation in scoring. And also the big thing also with that is penalty calls. Whether that's related to the pandemic at all, like you have the, they always want the high ratings, but maybe there's an extra incentive this year.
I've thought all along. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I made that point in September. It's no coincidence that they want the game to be as exciting and pleasing on TV as it's ever been. And that mm-hmm. usually equates to scoring.
You did say, was I here in September?
You were here, yeah, yeah.
Was I on my phone when you said that?
I don't know. I liked it. I liked the point when I made it. You
apparently.
You said something complimentary, but you might have just been going through the motions. I don't know.
Maybe I was texting my wife.
Yeah.
I was just doing that. When Tyler was on, I'll admit I was doing that at one point. I gave her an update about something, and her response was, "Aw, man." And I said, "You want ribs?" Hi, Alex's place. Miss you. And she's like, "Ha ha." And she's a vegetarian. And I said, "You know what meatless ribs are called, don't you?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Fibs."
Oh my!
What do you think of that?
How
is that an idea?
How are you still married? That's the question.
Oh, come on! I don't know the next line. Of course, this is good stuff. Fibs, Joe. Fibs. My term for hot dogs, veggie hot dogs, is not dogs. And bacon is fakin.
Fakin, sure, I've heard that. Yeah.
I thought I invented these.
Ooh.
And I'm inventing fibs too. It's that easy, huh?
Yeah, I think fakin has been around a while, too.
But how about fibs?
I've never heard fibs before, and that's probably because it's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
I heard it once, a Thanksgiving Survivor. Fibs.
Fibs.
It was down to turkey and fibs. I would vote fibs. Well, look, we all need to relax. Give the gift of relaxation this holiday season, a gift card to the Woodhouse Day Spa. Forget about buying more stuff. Experiences are the thing this year. And these Woodhouse gift cards, the retail is open now. The services are not available now, but they will be eventually and soon. So your gift card is just the same this year as any other year in that way. It will be usable and probably quite soon after Christmas. So a gift card from the Woodhouse Day Spa makes for a tremendous holiday gift. This Cyber Weekend only, if you purchase a $150 gift card, which can go a long way, of course, at the Woodhouse, you'll receive an additional $25 gift card with that. So how you qualify, go to buffalo.woodhousespas.com, enter the promo code 25BUFFCYBER. 25 Buff Cyber when placing your order. That should be a play call. An audible. 25 Buff Cyber on 2. 50, is that terrible? 5933 Main Street in Williamsville, the Woodhouse Day Spa. Shop local, shop online, save, and relax.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Just brushing up on Mike Glennon. It's been a while. You know what team he was on last year? You guys know? Sal, hi Sal. Happy Thanksgiving. First question. You know what team Mike Glennon was on last year?
I don't.
I think I might.
No, I guess I don't. He wasn't in Chicago last year?
No, I didn't.
That was
just
2 years ago.
I just, no.
Is he on Jacksonville?
Raiders.
Oh, okay.
You had 2 years ago, he was on the Cardinals. This year, he is on Jacksonville and starting. And, Joe, you have it fresh. Mike Glennon is replacing Jake Luton, who replaced Gardner Minshew, who replaced Nick Foles, who was in Chicago having replaced Mitch Trubisky, who replaced Glennon. You're not in a great place if you're going to this guy. I mean, maybe he's super nice, and he's way better than I am at football. But
it's so good that none of this touched the Bills.
It could have.
Yes, Glennon was somebody that they maybe right.
Yes, on this day, Sal, we're talking to Tyler Dunn about his massive article about a lot what's happened in the last several years with the Bills. 2017 is McDermott is hired, and Tyrod Taylor is probably going to free agency, but he seems to not get the offer he needs, and so he comes back. In the meantime, the Bills reportedly, I think, were looking up Brian Hoyer and Mike Glennon. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Investigating options. It was, you know, I think Taylor was kind of feeling out what he wanted to do, and the Bills were feeling out what they wanted to do, and I think ultimately things didn't work out for him the way he wanted or his agent wanted, and the Bills didn't feel like, you know, the Bills wanted to compete and win. And I think there was an element of, you know, McDermott wanted to learn about Tyrod, know what he's about, and felt that he could win games with him by bringing him back. So I think that's why that all worked out like that.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
I would agree. More on Mike Glennon later in the show, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I have a Glennon. I have
even a
game.
Joke.
I almost said a Glame. Combined it. A Glennon game. I have a Glame for you later. Sal, on the Bills, in this game coming up with the Chargers on Sunday, John Brown is hurt again.
Yeah, he's been dealing with ankle and knee injuries this year. This time it's listed as an ankle. But he's been pretty banged up. You guys remember the last time, you know, the last game in Arizona, he came down really awkwardly right around midfield, and he had both his ankle and his knee kind of twisted underneath him. And what was encouraging for me, though, was he never left the field, like, to the locker room. He stayed on the sidelines even after he went off. Never returned to the game itself, but it was encouraging he never left the field. And, you know, things I look for as a sideline reporter, because that's usually a sign that they have to really, you know, do a deeper examination of what's going on. So that was good. But you knew he's been banged up. And I'll be honest with you guys, like, you could just tell. I think the guy's been gutting it out, because He had two plays over the previous 2 weeks before that, the Seattle game and the Arizona game, where he had those wide receiver screens and he couldn't get to the end zone. You know, he got chased down from behind, essentially, you know, if you want to call it an angle or whatever. And I think that a healthy John Brown gets in the end zone on both those plays.
I'm inclined to agree. I mean, you never know, but I especially the Seattle one, I thought there was a lineman down there that sort of tried to push him a little and maybe knocked him off balance a little bit in doing so. Like, hey, come on this way. Like, no. But yeah, I think it's, it, you know, it makes sense. I'll tell you, man, when he went down in that Arizona game, if I remember right, I feel like they went to a commercial and I thought the cart was going to be out there.
Yep.
I thought it looked bad live, you know, but it turned out to be not that bad, but it still might cost him some time here.
And on top of him not, you know, going off the field on a cart or into the locker room, him staying on the sidelines, after the game, there's like when CBS kind of does their panning of the field, he's on the field shaking hands with players, like talking to them. So like he was out there. He still stayed out. And I thought, wow, geez, John Brown, you know, he didn't like hightail it to the locker room or have anybody help him. He's still out there. So I think that's encouraging. But, you know, he's had a week extra here because of the bye week. But this is something they might have to deal with. They might have to just shut him down again for another week or two.
Yeah.
Not put him on IR and say, hey, you know, we think we can get him back within the 3 week frame, so we're not going to do that. But we may not see John Brown here again this week in what could be a matchup, I think, where the Bills might be able to take advantage of a guy like John Brown, obviously, in a Chargers defense that's been suspect and, you know, let Joe Flacco basically score points on him last week.
Yeah, that kind of did happen. What do you think of the Chargers, Sal? Like, you see 3-7, and they also picked high last year. They didn't have a good record last year. Is this, like, an easier game? Or do you – I think a lot of people would look at them not like that – you know, they're in close games all the time. Yeah. I sort of have a feeling about the Chargers that, again, this year, they're better than their record.
It feels like that. They have a lot of talent, I think. And I think they have a really good young quarterback. He looks good, guys. You know, this is maybe a situation where next year we'll see what happens if they have the same coaching staff. You know, we saw what happened with Baker Mayfield after a great rookie year. And then, you know, they made a lot of changes and he regressed. You know, you never know what it means long term. But so far, so good. And he's in a right situation. He has really excellent wide receivers. I mean, I think Keenan Allen versus Tre'Davious White, if that's what they do, would be an excellent matchup to watch this week. But they have, you know, Hunter Henry and Mike Williams. They have good receivers. He can throw the ball, though. He can move for a bigger guy. He's a lot like Allen. He's not quite the runner Josh Allen is, but he can move back there. He could throw. And as far as the Chargers themselves, I mean, you know, they've had injuries. I think they really miss Derwin James right now. They've not had to deal with not having Joey Bosa a little bit. His sack numbers aren't that great. It just seems like they don't have the top to bottom roster. They have some top end talent, but player for player, the Bills have a much better roster overall. And I think the Bills are a better football team. When you say, Mike, you know, better than their 3-7 record, I agree. They're a player two here or there from having more wins, but maybe any team can say that. But it probably speaks to the fact that they just don't have the overall roster to finish out games all the time.
Yep. Well,
so as they get ready for this one here, Sal, like, is it like just sort of try to contain Burrow? Like, what concerns you the most about? I know we'll have our roundtable on Friday. Like, what concerns you the most about dealing with this team? Is it the long passing game?
It is. I think it's just the passing game in general. Now we don't know if Austin Eckler is going to play. That's one to watch this week. And even if he does, I would expect it to be on some sort of pitch count. I'd be surprised if this guy returns to the field and suddenly carries the load, you know, 20, 25 times or something, or touches it that many times. He basically tore the hamstring off the bone in week 3. I mean, that's pretty much what was reported, and he hasn't played since then. He finally came back from IR this week. He is practicing. He's practicing today. But we'll see if they even have him active, and if they do, I don't know how much of an impact he'll make. But they've struggled to run the ball. They've thrown the ball really well. I do think that's the thing that the Bills – And look, I think that's why it's a pretty good matchup for the Bills, even though they have a really good offense. I'd rather the Bills face a team that's much better at throwing the ball than much better at running the ball than then has an opportunity and ability to throw it, which I would describe more like Tennessee, right? Which is, Tannehill's not bad, we know that, but they're gonna make you work defending the run, and then they're going to hit you with the passing. Whereas this team, you know, if you can really kind of shut down their passing game like the Bills did against Kansas City, and they're not Kansas City, you know, they'll have a fighting chance on offense, on defense. And then on offense... I just don't think that they're all that great, Chargers. Gus Bradley's defense, they don't blitz a lot. I think Josh should have some time back there, and we've seen what Josh has done with time. I think the Bills can get to 30 in this game, so even if that team can get into the mid-20s, I still like the Bills' chances.
Thought on Baltimore-Pittsburgh being moved, Sal? We've talked about this for a couple days, and yesterday there were a good number of cases with the Ravens. The game was on. At least one more today, so the game is moved. How do you think this has gone?
I just want to know all the time, and I'm never going to really know this, like, what's the determining factors here? I mean, why are some games being moved and some aren't? I think we can all draw a pretty clear line, Mike, to, well, early in the year, they were moving games because they had bye weeks. Now they can't do that, you know, to different weeks. But you can go from Thursday to Sunday. Now, if we had a lot of Thursday games, you could see more of that. So maybe that's why. You know, you do have room to move the game here. I understand why Pittsburgh players would be upset. This is the second time they've been impacted. But, man, look, everybody's been impacted and moved in some way, it seems like, this year. The Chargers and the Dolphins, they had like four or five different games and weeks and schedules and bye weeks moved. The Bills didn't know who they were playing on a Saturday, had a Thursday night game moved to a Monday, had a Sunday game moved to a Tuesday. There's been a lot of teams that have gone through this. So, I mean, Denver didn't even really have a bye week for their players. They practiced all week, didn't play, and that ate it up. So I understand why the Steelers players might be upset that this is happening and they want to play. But this is the life we're living in 2020, and I think the sooner and the better that teams basically understand and accept that, hey, this can happen to us at any moment, we better be prepared for it, and not really complain about it, I think teams will be better off.
Yeah, I mean, I said here earlier that I get it. Like, the Steelers players might be, Sal, looking at how the league handled the 49ers a few weeks ago and going, well, wait, they had to play and, you know, had to call up all these guys from their practice squad. And, look, what, Baltimore gets the benefit of getting a few more days cushion? Like, why? That might just be because you've got the cushion. Like, you can move the game from Thursday to Sunday. If the game were on Sunday and this happened on, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, like it did, like, maybe you don't move it at all because there's nowhere else to go with it. But you do have the flexibility. And I think the Steelers should be careful, Sal, because, like, next week could be their week, you know, where they need some leniency from the league on who knows what, you know, with an outbreak on their own team. So I'd be careful a little bit if I were them.
100%. And I look at, what if this was the same situation, but it was the Texans or the Lions? I mean, you would be talking then about a team that's 3-7 against a team that's 4-6 versus an AFC North game between a 10-0, a 6-4, a rival. Like, I'm not naive enough to think that the league isn't going to basically tell the Texans or the Lions in that situation, tough, get some guys from the practice squad, we're going to play this game, but they want to make sure that they give as much of a competitive situation as possible to the Ravens and the Steelers, given the circumstances.
And it was, to that point, it was determined decades ago at The Hague that the Lions always had to play on Thanksgiving, and that was not movable under any circumstances.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, we need Greg Buck to tell us what the extreme situation might sound like. But, yeah, they're not going anywhere. Interesting that the primetime slot is open, and also the Ravens play next Thursday night.
Yeah.
So there was a limit, too, on how far back into the schedule they could go, perhaps. All right, Sal, again, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you on Friday.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. His appearance is, as always, brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I'm excited for the Mike Glennon game. I think it's good. We'll have that next hour. John Clayton as well. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Happy Thanksgiving to you. This is WGR.
You know, it comes back to sometimes having to make tough decisions. And one of the things that I've learned as a player and I've seen as a coach, that tough decisions have to be made in this business, whether it's a tough decision to move on from a player in the offseason or the decision now, whether you're going to make the move at quarterback or not. I mean, these are all decisions that have to be made by me.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback?
Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today. I mean, okay. We're looking, I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
Carson's your starter for Monday?
Yes.
Doug Peterson. Why do coaches always need to tell us how hard their jobs are? You want to trade places? Right? I mean, you guys don't understand. I got to make tough decisions. We don't understand that? Really? We don't know that? What's your salary? Kind of do know that. But probably there were some reporters who wrote all that down. Philadelphia 3-6-1, home to Seattle Monday night. Maybe there's a quarterback change, but while he said there isn't one, he didn't sound too sure of himself.
No, he didn't sound real dug in there, I don't think.
Dug in, that's good. It's not as good as Fibs, but it's good.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I wasn't going for that, but I guess I got it.
We've got John Clayton coming up, so this will have to be short. Philadelphia 3-6-1. Washington, the Giants, and Dallas all 3-7. Who wins the NFC East? Without looking at schedules, I mean, I'm not looking at schedules.
Dallas.
Dallas?
Yeah, sure.
I will say Washington. I think their defense is good, but, well, I don't really want to start on defense, but I think that. And maybe Alex Smith is competent. Like, they have a couple of nice pieces on offense, so I'll say them. I like them tomorrow.
Washington? Foreshadowing here for the picks coming up later.
Yeah, I'll be on Washington tomorrow, okay. Getting maybe three. Not sure. But that will have to wait. We've got a game, too. Very exciting. If time permits. John Clayton, though, after sports. Time usually permits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In here?
Yeah.
For games.
Yes, yes. Other stuff, not so much.
not as likely to be fit in. All right, John Clayton after the update here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.